Church, if you would turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, once again, we'll be looking, and if you're using one of the Bibles there in the pew, page 148 and 149 are the part of that New Testament Bible that we'll be looking at this morning, Romans chapter 11, and verses towards the end of that, we'll begin in verse number 30 and look through the end of the chapter, Romans chapter 11, verse 30. Romans chapter 11 and verse 30. And this morning I want to challenge you to see God's mercy and all that that includes for us. And notice with me in Romans chapter 11, verse number 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be, read that next word. Glory forever. Amen. This morning I want you to see the mercy of God in his working. Now we've looked through, we've been going through the book of Romans for a number of months now. In Romans 9, 10, and 11, we have observed that God is telling us about his working with Israel and what his purpose and plan has been with them as a nation and what he is going to do with them in the future so that we might have confidence in his plans, in his working. You know, sometimes things look a little confusing. What's going on in this picture? And God is very kind to us to unfold what is called the mystery here of his plans and working so that we might know his character. So that we, the Gentiles who would believe, the church in Rome primarily would be made up of Gentiles, and the Gentile believers might see that God, who made promises to Israel in the past, is not unfaithful to keep his promises, but will keep those promises to Israel. And that the God who keeps his promises gives that security to us by telling that. That's what we looked at last time, that the God of security is unfolded for us in verses 25 through 31. That God makes promises and he keeps them. In fact, look at verse number 29 we saw last time. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What God has declared he would do, he is going to do. He doesn't change his mind. Aren't you thankful that God is an unchanging God? That ought to encourage your heart, friend, that God is not fickle like the people that are around you or you yourself. You know, one day you like the weather, the next day you don't. One day you want it to be hot, the next day you want it to be cold. One day you wanted the leaves to be up on the trees, the next you wanted them to fall, the next you wanted them all to be gone again. You know, now you got to rake them. It's all beautiful until it's on the ground, right? You know, we have attitudes that change all the time. God, though, is unchanging. And in his promises, he is unchanging. He's made promises and he's going to keep them. And we've observed that this passage, the central theme of verses 25 through 36, is that God's purpose in revealing his plans for Israel is to show us his character, so that we might know him and fully trust him. And as the one who gives security, as we see in his promises, as the one who gives salvation, which is what we're going to look at today. The God of salvation is seen in his giving mercy. We're going to observe that mercy of God because God is a God of mercy. That is why we have salvation, friends. Do you realize that? If we got what we deserved, we would not have salvation on the mind of God. You realize that, don't you? Mercy is God not giving us what we actually do deserve, what we should get. God is giving something that is unexpected in human terms. But it's not surprising to him one bit. Sometimes I think that we have expectations that just reveal how human we are. We have expectations that reveal our limited capacity, and yet God is unlimited. He is not bound by the constraints or by the petty emotions or feelings that we carry. God is beyond us. Aren't you thankful for that? Have you thought about that for a while? What if God was like you and I? We would be in trouble. But God is beyond us. He is far superior. And so God demonstrates for us the characteristic of security that he gives us by keeping promises. He demonstrates the salvation through mercy that is seen. And as we'll see at the end of the chapter, and more so next time, in verses 33 through 36, the splendor of God, the majesty that should be observed about him because he is so infinite in his wisdom. Now, that is important for the church in Rome to get a hold of. It's an important thing for us as a church to get a hold of. That we would see God's working in the past and what he's going to do in the future, and from that say, wow, I can trust that God is going to keep me secure just as he promised. And I can also say and be reminded of God's salvation is full of mercy. And I'm going to share a few things with you about that mercy this morning that is interconnected with God's salvation. Because I think we need to understand perfectly well the mercy of God as it relates to our salvation. Lest we think that our salvation comes from anything other than the mercy of God. Notice with me, first of all, what this passage continually uses. The word mercy in verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now believed, or have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Who's he talking about? He's talking about in time past, ye Gentiles have not believed God, but now have obtained mercy. The gospel has now gone out into the whole world. And those Gentiles that once had not believed have now been recipients of mercy. Well, you say, what is mercy, Pastor? Well, let's define that. The word mercy here means the kindness or goodwill that is demonstrated towards someone in need. It's kindness and goodwill demonstrated towards a needy person where it is not expected. God shows mercy by not giving us what we deserve. Have you ever observed mercy shown to someone and they're not getting what they deserved? Have you ever recognized that God has shown mercy towards you in not getting what you deserve? It is because of God's mercy that we are not consumed, the Bible says. Do you realize that if God saw in our sin and said, you know what, they're in sin, I have a right to destroy them. Would God be unjust in destroying the world in totality for their sin? Would God be just in doing so? He absolutely would be. But both in God's justice, in our deserving his righteous judgment, he has also declared himself as a God of mercy. And they are not at odds with each other. God has these characteristics and they are perfectly meshed together. So that in God's justice, there is going to be righteous judgment against sin. There always will be. But that God has made a way for mercy to be seen to people who don't deserve it. And I want to come back to that over and again today. When we think of mercy, we don't think of mercy as something that is deserved or merited or earned. It is shown, it is kindness that is given on someone when it is not deserved. God's mercy is his kindness in not giving us what we deserve. Now, oftentimes people confuse grace and mercy. And I want to just kind of distinguish them real quick for you this morning before we go on. What's the difference between mercy and grace? Both have the idea of kindness. But where mercy is God's kindness in not giving us what we deserve, grace includes God's kindness, but also the idea of God's going beyond mercy and bestowing or giving us something that we could not have earned on our own, favor and help, enablement that could come from no other place but from God. It is giving. It's not just not giving us something, but it is giving. And God showed grace in giving us his son, Jesus Christ. God showed grace. He showed His power to save men from their sin. I think it's an important thing to note, a passage that might help you see that there is both needed, both for the lost person, but I believe also in the life of a believer. It's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4:16 is a familiar passage that says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, we need God's kindness in both getting, not getting what we deserve, but we need it also in receiving what we have no power to get on our own. You need God's mercy in not getting what you deserve. You need God's grace in getting what you need. What you need beyond that which is just the pardon or just the not getting the deserved just reward for your sin. You need God's help in order to be made right with Him. Justification that we've seen in Romans chapter 4, that idea of God's making us right with Him is not by any merit of mine. It is by His kindness that He would give that. You ought to thank the Lord that you don't get what you deserve, mercy, and that He has provided a way by His grace for you to be right with Him. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." God's grace is His gift. That is a fantastic offer that God offers to those who recognize, I am in need. God has demonstrated His amazing grace in the Word of God. In this passage, we see this concept of mercy. And it's important to recognize in verse 30 through 32 that this mercy, number one, is boundless. The mercy of God is boundless in that it is not limited to just this group of people who can receive it. It's not just this group of people who might receive it. Notice who the people are that are able to receive this mercy in verse 20 or verse 30. "For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief." As the Jewish people had received mercy in the past, but the Gentiles had not believed and therefore did not know that mercy of God. Can I just remind you of something? That the mercy of God is toward the Jew and it's toward the Gentile. You see that in verse 31 and 32. We are experiencing the mercy of God right now, those of you who have believed. Do you realize that? The mercy of God is realized by us. And in verse 32, the Bible says, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon" who? All. Do you realize that the mercy of God is not limited? It is boundless. It is able to be known by all. That's one of the things about the gospel that right from the get-go in the book of Romans, we're told. Remember Romans 1:16? It's kind of a theme verse for the entire book, the entire thing. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Okay, to both groups of people, to all who believe. Who is God's mercy able to be experienced by? Everyone. Now, that should impact us in a very important way. It's significant because both Jews and Gentiles can experience the saving mercy of God right now. And that was important to the church in Rome to get a hold of, because who should they still share the gospel with? The Jews. The Jews should share the gospel, or the Gentiles should share the gospel to the Jews in their town. They should still have them on their mind. There shouldn't be that. Well, there's no hope for them. No, no. They can believe. Paul mentioned that at the beginning of chapter 11 about how God has been and is working right now. There needs to be a recognition amongst the Jewish believers that God would save the Gentiles. That God is at work to show His mercy amongst many is exciting. And I would tell you that you and I, as we share the gospel, ought to recognize that there is no person that God cannot show mercy to. Do you realize that? That God's mercy is not, well, it's just for the smart people. It's just for the really, well, intelligent people. No, friend, it is boundless. Let me give you a second thing about the mercy of God in our passage. The mercy of God is needed. Do you recognize again in Romans chapter 11, verse 32? For God has concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. What's the condition of everyone that necessitates mercy? What's the condition? Unbelief. God has concluded them all in unbelief. And we've seen this early on in the book of Romans. The most difficult thing at times for people is seeing themselves as sinners needing mercy. Do people have a difficult time seeing themselves as actually being a sinner in need of salvation? I have observed this over and over right here in our town. Well, I'm a pretty good person. You know, man is basically good. I mean, Pastor, why do you think that I'm such a bad person? And we go to the extremes in our minds as I'm comparing you against someone else. Friend, in the eyes of God, and that's the one that matters, God sees us all as in unbelief and all as needing mercy. There's a statement that's used in this. God hath concluded. Now, that's an important word that in the Greek means to shut in on all sides. It's to, sometimes in Scripture, it's using the idea of catching fish in a net. That there is an enclosure here. That God has statement made, found man completely, utterly unable on his own, so that he can show his mercy. Do you know that God wants people to see his mercy towards them? And God has concluded all men as sinners. Look back in your Bible at Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Just a couple pages to your left in your Bible, Romans 3, verse 9. Some ground we've already covered, but it's important to see how it relates to this and the mercy of God. Romans 3, 9 says, "What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, that they are," read the next three words out loud, "all under sin. As it is written," verse 10, "there is none righteous, no, not one." Look at verse 22, Romans chapter 3, verse 22. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Verse 23, "for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Do you know that both Jew and Gentile are guilty and in need of God's mercy? All come short and all are in need of this mercy of God. You know, that is the look you should have on the people that you interact with this next week. That God's mercy is boundless, that it isn't limited to a certain ethnicity or a certain age group, that it is able to minister and change and impact anyone. But it is also needed by everyone. People around you need the mercy of God desperately. They need it because of what? Their sin. They need it because of their condition. You know, if you just read Romans chapter 11 and verse 32 and didn't know the rest of the letter, you just kind of pulled this out of here and said, "Wow, God has concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all." You know what? Maybe God is just saying he's going to just show mercy on everybody. Do you know people teach that? That God's just going to show mercy on everyone? Often it's called universalism. The idea that everyone's going to basically be saved. There is no judgment of God because God is merciful. Now, can I tell you something? That is not what verse 32 is pointing out. God is not saying, "You know what? I'm just going to show mercy on everybody throughout all time because I'm just a merciful God." Friend, God is merciful in not giving men what they deserve. But God's mercy does not throw out his righteousness or his justice or his holiness. So in God not giving them what they deserve, what is that connected to? Friend, get this, and it's so important that you see it. It is that all men would have opportunity to partake of the mercy of God in the person of Jesus Christ. That there is an opportunity for people to hear and believe on Christ for salvation. God's mercy was shown when he provided Jesus Christ as the once-for-all sacrifice for sin. But the mercy of God in that was ignored, wasn't it, by the Jewish people? It was ignored largely by them. And it was accepted and believed by many Gentiles. But friend, either Jew or Gentile that would recognize God is merciful in showing a way for me to be delivered from my sin problem can be saved. When John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." If there was no need for everyone to believe, then why does God say very clearly, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life"? You see, friend, the mercy that God does make available to all who are in need has to be connected to something. It is the recognition that I need it. It is the recognition that I am a sinner in need. It is not that God's just going to show mercy on everyone and everyone's going to be saved. Friend, that is not true. And that is taught by many, many churches and denominations. This idea that there is no pressing, urgent need for us to tell people of a coming judgment of God or of a lake of fire. You know that the Bible speaks of a literal place of judgment. There is judgment for sin. And that shouldn't make us say, "Wow, I think you're just beating people over the head and you're scaring them into believing." Friend, the mercy of God is available, but it's needed. Why would I need mercy except that I am a great sinner? Friend, do you see how great of a sinner you are? You might be here this morning and think, "I'm a pretty good person, Pastor." Then why would God have to send his Son to die for you? He sent his Son to die for you because your sin was so expensive. And for him to show himself as the way, the truth, and the life, he gave himself so that you might believe on him and be saved, and that you might experience this mercy of God. There's also a teaching that say, you know, every way that you want to try to get to God will get there eventually. All roads lead to heaven, basically. You know what that negates and totally throws out? The fact that God is the only one who can provide the mercy that's actually needed. There are not 10 different ways to have mercy. There's one, and it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ alone. The mercy of God and the Word of God is God's way for us to be saved, the way for that which we needed. Mercy is boundless, and mercy of God is needed. Here's the third thing. The mercy of God is accessible. The mercy of God is accessible. Look over in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22. One of the words that continually comes up in the book of Romans is this matter of belief. In the verses we've already read this morning, belief and unbelief keep coming up. Notice with me in Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22 says, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin." Does that sound familiar? Much like Romans 3. And the statement, "the Scripture hath concluded," is actually the same kind of word shut in to bring to this constraint, this position, all men as under sin. Why? Why has the Word of God, the Bible, shut men in on every side and declared them to be sinners? What's the purpose of that? What's the reason that God would have for showing us this problem? The Scripture hath concluded all under sin. Well, here's the reason. To leave no room for human merit, for works, or self-righteousness. You know that the Word of God leaves no one any room to say, "I am pretty good." Romans 3 made that very clear. There's nobody that's better than somebody else. In the eyes of God, all are concluded in unbelief. All are sinners. All are in great trouble. Look around here this morning. Don't for a moment think, "Pastor, I am just the worst." You know, I have had people tell me before, "I don't think God can save me. Because you don't know what I've done, Pastor. I don't think he can save me. I don't think he could show mercy on me. Have you ever heard someone say that? I've heard that said by many. I've heard that said by people who've done horrible things. I've heard that said by people who have seen horrible things. And in their mind, they think that their experience somehow keeps them from experiencing or being accessible to God's mercy. That somehow or another, God didn't think of them when he thought of a way for man to be saved. It's surprising they would never say it in so many words, but their badness, their sin, they somehow think is superior to God's mercy. Can I tell you something about the mercy of God? It is greater than your sin. It is greater than you. It is greater than you deserve. That's the point. Sometimes when people say, I just think I've done too much bad, they're still thinking they have to be somehow good. Friend, the best thing you'll ever recognize is you could never be good enough. The Bible has concluded all under sin. Why? Notice Galatians again, chapter 3, verse 22. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Do you realize that there is a way for a person to be saved? The way to access the mercy and salvation of God is by faith in Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus is the way it's spoken of here. What is the faith of Jesus? It is the way of salvation by faith in Jesus that has been on the scene since his death, his burial and resurrection. That is the faith. That is the faith once delivered. That is the recognition that Jesus is God's way for you to go from death to life, from sinner condemned to hell to being right with God and on your way to heaven. That's the message. And the Bible says in Galatians 3:26, look down just a little further. Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the children of God, how? By faith in Christ Jesus. Unless there's any question, the way that you became a child was by faith in Christ. That is the way a person is saved. How is the mercy of God accessed? It is by faith in Jesus Christ that I fully gain understanding of all this mercy that God has in his Son. Now, friend, observe that God desires for us to place faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes there's this idea that man is unable to believe. I would ask you, if man is unable to believe, why does the Scripture repeatedly say, believe? Now, I know that sounds very simple, but, you know, man is totally and completely in a sinful condition. That's what Romans 3:22 very clear, or chapter 11, 32 says, our passage. God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. The condition of man is hopeless and helpless on his own. Man totally and completely impacted by sin? Yes. Yes, he is. Apart from God's mercy and God's grace, man is hopelessly and utterly destined for destruction. There's no, I've earned this, I'm a pretty good person. No, but God's sovereign plan for salvation, his method of working with humanity has been for the gospel message to be proclaimed and for people to believe. That's his method. And God has made that method possible in such a way that men can hear and can believe. Do you believe that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Friend, we have an opportunity to declare the word of God to people and declare to them that God shows mercy and declare to them that they can believe on Christ and be saved. Don't doubt for a minute that God can save lost people if they hear the word of God and the Holy Spirit convinces them that's true. They'll believe. That's exciting. The mercy of God is accessible. And I want you to stop for a moment and think. In Franklin, Indiana, if the mercy of God is accessible, why aren't people accessing it? You know, if there was all over town free food stations, how many of you like the prices of food these days? Okay. And it was available, but people didn't know they existed. Would they take anything from them? No. But what if you were the one that started going around telling, hey, there's a spot over here, and they're giving away food, no strings attached. They want you to have it. Some people would say, well, that sounds too good to be true. Have you ever heard people like this? Don't people speak of God's mercy in similar ways? Well, I think that's too good to be true. Hey, I've experienced it. I've enjoyed it. You can too. Well, who provided for it? You tell them who provided for it. You said, well, the one who created me. Friend, can I ask you, how much of this mercy did you need? Did you need the mercy of God? Yeah. How much of it is accessible to the people right around you? And yet you don't tell them about it. You don't speak of it. Why? Well, I don't know, Pastor. It's awkward. They might not like it. Friend, there will be people that do not believe. There will. There's a need for us to recognize this mercy has been shown to us. This mercy is available, and it is accessible to all. The Bible says in Romans 3:22 there again, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. I want you to turn over real quick as we conclude this morning to Romans 16. Romans 16, at the very end of the book of Romans, and I've mentioned this before, Romans 16 verses 25 through 27 have a somewhat parallel theme to Romans 11 and our ending passage of Romans 11. And I think it's always helpful when you're reading through Scripture to observe when themes or attitudes of a writer are repeated and why those things are important. And notice what is mentioned in Romans chapter 16 at the very end of the book in verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. We've already seen that revelation of the mystery in Romans 11, which was kept secret since the world began. What God's been doing and how he's going to accomplish it is now made known, but is now made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of who? According to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Let me ask you something. Has God commanded that this message be given out? Yes. What message, Pastor? That there is a way for man to be made right with God through Jesus Christ. That there is a way for all who are in sin to be made right with God by faith in his Son. Notice what it says in verse 26. But now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Do you know that we can declare the word of God, which God gave even by the prophets, and declare to people, you can be right with God. And God wants you to know this, made known to who? Made known to who? All nations. Gentile, Jew, everyone. You know what ought to compel missions? The declaring of the gospel around the world by us? It is that God has intended for his mercy to be known. God has intended for this message to be made known for the obedience of faith. That people would submit themselves to recognition, I need God's way, and I need his son Jesus. And I'm going to submit to the fact I've got to believe on Jesus Christ. You know, faith, believing, are things that we're to declare to people. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hey, I need to tell people so that they can believe. And you may be here this morning and you've heard this message that I'm a sinner, but you've not yet believed. And you've heard what God has said, that He is a God of mercy and that He has provided mercy in giving His Son Jesus Christ to pay for your sin in your place, that you might not get what you deserve, but that you might be saved, redeemed, freed from sin by His kindness and receive what you did not deserve, His grace, giving you a relationship with Him, making you a child of God, that you can come into that relationship by faith in Jesus Christ. Why not believe that this morning and be saved? Why not turn from, well, I'm trying to be a good person, Pastor. No, that won't save you. In fact, that's why people don't accept their need of mercy, because they think that they're pretty good. No, friend, I need mercy. I need God's mercy because I'm such a sinner. And God has provided it in His Son, Jesus Christ. And all those who turn from their sin and self and efforts to Christ alone can be saved. And you can be saved this morning. And I would challenge you, if you're not, don't just put that off. Don't just set that aside and think it's not important. It's not a big deal. Friend, recognize the mercy of God for today. It is accessible today. Here's the final thing, and I want you to consider at the end of Romans 11. It's mentioned in Romans 16, to God only wise be glory through our Lord Jesus. Notice at the end of chapter 11, and we'll look at this further in the future. The mercy of God should be praised. The mercy of God and His working. Because out of this, verse 32, God hath concluded them all in unbelief that He might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. You know what the right response to the mercy of God should be? It should be the praise of God. That when I realize what God is doing in saving people who deserve judgment, who deserve punishment for sin, all are under sin? Oh no! Yet God says, I'll show mercy. And He's shown that mercy through Christ. You know what that should make us say? Wow, look at what God is doing. When's the last time you stepped back and praised God for His mercy? And you said, God, I thank You for making salvation possible for me. I thank You for changing where my life's course was going to an eternity in hell to now being right with You and on my way to heaven and at peace. Have you praised Him lately for that mercy that's found in Christ? You ought to praise Him continually. The praise of God continually. You know, the word mercy is found 247 times in the Old Testament. 127 of those, almost half of those, are found in the book of Psalms. You know what the Psalms are filled with? A recognition of God's mercy over and over and over. Praising God for His mercy. Praising God for His mercy. Praising God for His mercy. Why? Because God is merciful and He is worthy of our praise of that. And so as you go from here today, Christian, praise God for His mercy. Recognize and rejoice in the fact that that mercy is accessible to all by faith, that that mercy of God is needed and that it is boundless. It is not limited to an individual group. No, no. God is showing mercy. And God is showing mercy to Jew and Gentile and to all. All are in unbelief, therefore all need this mercy. And let's have a great praise of our God for His salvation and the way that He demonstrates mercy on mankind. Would you bow with me for prayer this morning? I think sometimes a reminder of the fact that God is merciful helps us have perspective again of God's character. Where we need to see that God is merciful, we also need to recognize that God wants us to tell others of His characteristic of mercy. Have you ever told anyone, God's been merciful to me? Have you reminded your own heart of that? God, thank You for being merciful to me. thank you for showing mercy and not giving me what I deserve. And God, help me to declare that mercy to others, that you are a God who shows mercy and that people need your mercy. You know, I don't know what you're carrying this morning, but maybe you're a believer here this morning and you're forgetting that God, who showed you mercy to save you, also continues to show mercy. We saw in Psalm, as a father pitieth his children. You know, the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. And you ought to rejoice in the fact that he does. You ought to thank him for his love and care and kindness. Maybe this morning, child of God, you ought to rejoice in the mercy that you can continue to know because of Christ. And that God intends for you to know. Maybe this morning, as one that's here that doesn't know Christ as your Savior, you need to say, you know what, Pastor? I see this morning for the first time, perhaps, that I need mercy because I'm a sinner. If all are in unbelief, you know, I've never thought of myself as that category, but I am. I am a sinner, and I need a Savior. And this morning, I need to trust Jesus Christ. I need to put my dependence in the one who died for me so that I can know the mercy of God. I would encourage you in just a moment to perhaps slip out and come and say, Pastor, I'd like to place my trust in Christ, or I have questions about that. If you're a man, I'll have a man take the Bible and just answer questions with you. That's what we do here. If you're a lady, I'll have a lady do that with you. But you can know with certainty today what it means to have God's mercy and be forgiven, to be at peace with God. Maybe you're considering this morning. You say, you know, I've not spoken of the mercy of God to others. And I'm challenged this morning that I need to speak of the mercy of God. I need to be one who declares it. I need to be sharing the gospel. And God's burdened my heart about perhaps a certain person that I need to share the mercy of God with. Why not just come in just a moment and just bow your head and pray and say, Lord, I want to commit to giving the truth to someone else who needs to hear of your mercy. And not taking it for granted that others will hear of your mercy. God wants to use us as his messengers, as his ambassadors of truth. May we be faithful in that. Would you stand with me as we conclude this morning? Father, I pray that you would work now in this time of invitation. I don't know, Lord, what all the needs are in everyone's heart here today. I do know that your mercy is tremendous in its scope. I know that your mercy is able to save the lost sinner. And I know, Lord, that you desire for us to rejoice in that mercy. And maybe that's not been taking place as it should. May there be rejoicing even here in the next few moments in your mercy, in your kindness. And may we never forget that we have done nothing to earn our salvation, but that it is by your mercy and by your grace that we have a relationship with you. Lord, we thank you for that.